This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. David, let me ask you, how's your immune system lately?
It's honestly in critical condition.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. But what if I told you that similar to our immune system, which produces more antibodies when under attack, the muscadine grape also produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a host of health benefits?
I'd gobble them up like Tic Tacs.
Well, my friend, MightyMuscadine.com has everything you could ever need to take your health game to the next level. All their products are gluten-free, trans-fat-free, non-GMO, dairy-free, and best of all, they actually taste delicious.
I can attest to that personally. I had some of their protein powder just this morning, and it's delicious.
I know that's
their
right.
Their grape juice is delicious.
Tell it.
Their antioxidant beverages, delicious.
Preach on.
Their shampoo, their body lotion, all delicious.
What?
Best I've ever had.
I'm glad to hear that you liked it, but try not to eat the shampoo.
Too late. And I'll tell you something else. Mighty Muscadine believes in protecting God's great earth for generations to come. That's why their farming and production is environmentally friendly, and they make every effort to protect and preserve without the use of pesticides and herbicides.
You ate shampoo, though. You said your immune system was in critical condition? I think I know why.
The only problem is I'm a little short on funds.
Well, fret no more, my friend. We're going to talk about that later, but fret no more. You can visit MightyMuscadine.com and use promo code TODAY, that's T-O-D-A-Y, to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, use promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on all your purchases of Mighty Muscadine products. And listen, every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps support us here at the Clearview Today Show.
Remember, that promo code is TODAY. T-O-D-A-Y. A healthier, happier you is just a click away.
Happy Friday, everyone. Today is March the 1st.
March 1st! It's my birth month.
It is your birth month. Happy birth month.
Thank you
so much.
That
was hard to say, those two THs together, birth month.
We're going to have a whole slew of activities for special birth month.
I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abaddon Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. You guys can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and your family. You can leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links in the description so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
That is a prayer for all of us, to be strong in the Lord. You know, when we think of strength, I always think of the strength like we think of, like Samson, I'm Hercules, I'm strong in the Lord. But being found, what is it? It's that Christ is made perfect in our weakness.
Yep.
And in our weakness, he is made strong. So when I think of like being made strong in the Lord, it's that perseverance. It's that going through the am I making sense?
Yeah.
I'm trying to put words
strength,
to it.
Strength in the Christian life is backwards from what the world thinks strength is. Strength in the world is the effort and the work that you put in and the amount of physical ability that you have. But strength in the Christian life is not who you are, but who Christ is in you reliance on him.
You're good at putting my jumbled thoughts into words. That's exactly
why we work
what it
well
is.
Together.
It's not what I put out. It's not my output.
That's
it's
right.
It's what Christ is being able to do in me. Resting in that, abiding in that, that's the truth strength of God.
Yeah. This passage, it's of course, Ephesians chapter 6, comes from the children obey your parents, fathers don't provoke your children, bondservants be obedient to those who are your masters. And then we launch into the passage about the armor of God.
Right.
This is the precursor to that passage on the armor of God. It's the very next verse. And the armor of God is not like you just talked about, John, not the amount of physical ability that we have, not how good of a Christian we are, but it's who God is and our trust in his ability to work in us and work through us.
That's right. So someone actually wrote in, this is Keith L. from North Carolina. He said, hey, loved the episode yesterday. I thought it was so funny how you were talking about, I'm paraphrasing, but he was like, I thought it was so funny how you were talking about how leap year feels like an Easter egg in a video game.
Yeah.
Didn't know you guys were gamers. What's your favorite game of all time?
Oh my gracious.
Buddy boy, you can't ask a question.
That's
like
that's like asking me to choose which one of my kids is my favorite. And there is an answer to that question.
I'll give you You want to cut that out or leave it?
No, we can leave it.
Leave it in?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, I've got tons and tons of favorite games, but nothing will ever take the place of Mario 64. That game, the emotional tie I have to that game, I can remember sitting in my room playing that game and just being so in love.
Yeah.
I've put more hours into Mario 64. There's plenty of other games that I love, but nothing will ever take that place.
Gosh.
Love Mario 64.
I have so many games that I feel like have rotated through this, but if I had to pick one out of the vast array of games that I've played, it would probably, this is going to be really obscure, it would probably be Final Fantasy Tactics. Write in and let us know your favorite video game. John and I are always looking for other things to play, so write in and let us know, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com.
Yeah, we got kids now, so we got an excuse to actually play video games.
That's right. We're kind of looping back around to that.
There you go.
Stay tuned. We'll be back after the break.
What's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we hope you are enjoying the podcast thus far.
You know, we really appreciate how many of you download the podcast every day.
Right.
But we also want to remind you that we are first and foremost a radio show.
Clearview Today is actually syndicated through the Truth Network. And we just want to let you know right now that in addition to hosting the all-time best Christian talk show of all time.
Hashtag Clearview Today.
Hashtag Clearview Today. The Truth Network also, as it turns out, has an extensive library of Christian programming.
We really love everything they're doing at the Truth Network because the whole goal is to encourage, challenge, confront, and uplift listeners with the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ through Christian talk radio.
And listen, we know we're not the only show wanting to expand its audience. So if you have a vision for your show or for your ministry, why don't you consider syndicating your show through the Truth Network? Because they rely on decades of experience of self-syndication with a full array of features for your long-form or short-form content.
Make sure you visit the Truth Network online today at truthnetwork.com. Or you can give them a call at 336-759-0363. Again, that's 336-759-0363. Well, John, are you ready?
I was born ready, my friend. Let's hop right back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here today on this glorious Friday afternoon with Dr. Abadan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, PhD in getting some of these level up in these games. You know, a lot of people don't know this about you, Dr. Shah, but you were at one point in your life a gamer.
Yeah.
The shape. We all, I'm getting to that point in my life where now I'm a little bit like, yeah, you know, I used to be a gamer.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, can I tell a story about this?
Yes. Yeah, that's awesome.
So this is how it happened. When I was in high school, kind of reaching the final year of my high school, my dad sent me off to this tutoring camp.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, it's a big deal.
In India or in America?
In India.
Okay.
This is in India. Anyways, so I'm in a big city, and I'm like, wow.
You're away from home.
I'm away from home. So at first, I was a little nervous, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to stay here, made some friends and all that. And then I'm like, let me go explore. Let's see what else is here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came across an arcade.
Bro.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's it.
The
that's
allure.
Done.
I saw an arcade. I didn't know what an arcade was. Yeah. And I walked in there. And they even had a rolling, rollerblade.
A skating rink.
At this place.
Wow.
So this arcade even had a skating rink.
Oh,
I was
man.
Like, wow, look at all this stuff. Now, I never got into skating. But arcade, I was like, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
I began with the pinball machines.
Yep.
And then slowly graduated to the Kung Fu Master.
Kung Fu Master,
The whole point is it's I enjoyed games.
Well, that idea, like you said, of leveling up, though, like there's something about it. There's something kind of addictive about it where you want to keep progressing and you want to keep building on what's been done already.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what we're talking about today.
Yeah, fun. Hitting those milestones in a game, but that doesn't really compare to hitting those milestones in your Christian life,
mm-hmm.
and your walk with God. And you know, we're back in our discussion on 2 Peter, and this list that Peter gives us is, it very much carries that idea of sort of like a leveling up kind of progression.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because as we grow in the Christian life, we move forward. People think anytime you bring up this concept of moving forward or climbing up, that you are somehow have this work-based salvation. And my answer to them is, who said that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who said that? Because your salvation is fully a gift of God's grace. You cannot earn your salvation. You cannot build your salvation. You can only work out your salvation. So what we're talking about is working out what has been worked in.
When you first pitched back in the end of 2023 and we were forming On Track, we pitched it sort of as that. This is kind of where we started. We've almost mm-hmm. come full circle.
Yeah.
Because it was like, what if there was an app that could track your spiritual growth?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I didn't say it, and I'm glad I didn't say it. The first thing I thought was, there's going to be some pushback here from people. Because there's going to be those people that goes, no, you can't track the Christian life. That's works-based, and that's not letting the Holy Spirit work. And I kept my mouth shut, and I'm so glad I did, because the response to this series has been overwhelmingly
A blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to say critically acclaimed, but it was people loved it.
Yes.
They latched on to it.
The idea of these ethical lists, because mm-hmm. it's an ethical list, mm-hmm. it's a virtue list. It is found in the New Testament. In fact, we have 13 virtue lists.
Wow.
Yeah, people don't realize that. And 23 vice lists. We're not even including 1 Corinthians 13, which in a sense is a list as well,
right.
but on love.
Right.
But list of virtues and vices were not uncommon in ancient times. The Indians had it, Egyptians had it, Persians had it, other Mediterranean cultures had this list, and even Greek philosophers like Socrates and Plato, Aristotle, and the Stoics had a list. So these were lists, but what made the Christian virtue lists different is that they were based on one's relationship with Jesus Christ.
Mm. We kind of mentioned that yesterday a little
right.
bit.
Yeah. This was not to earn that relationship. This is coming from the ground of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
This is not so you can get to salvation.
Right.
Yeah.
But the ladder of growth sits on the ground of salvation.
Right.
So you can't apply these lists in the New Testament without a relationship with Christ.
Yeah. No.
Like all these other virtue lists from Greek or Mediterranean, like I can be that person. I can.
Oh, I should strive to be that person.
Yeah. But in Christianity, there is no achieving these lists without Christ.
Right.
Right. You cannot. I mean, that's what Peter says. Mm-hmm. You have become partakers of the divine nature. If you're not a partaker of the divine nature, don't even attempt this list.
Yeah.
Now, you may, and you can, and you may even delude yourself into thinking, I am achieving these things. But that's a superficial understanding.
Yep.
It's surfacey. It's not true. You're fooling yourself and others.
How many Christians do you think have that list without the relationship or with a very superficial?
Oh, they try to have a list.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot.
Mm.
Oh, I'm just a loving person, man. Look, I love everybody. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You think you do.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till somebody stabs you in the back. Wait till your loved one does that. Now, are you a loving person? Do you really love that person?
Mm.
Well, you know, I've been walking with Jesus a long time, man. I've learned a lot. I only wish that knowledge could do that.
Mm.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
Knowledge puffs up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Love edifies. It's a whole different concept. And that kind of love for your enemy, because we're not talking about loving a nice, cute little baby or
right.
loving your sweet old wife.
Loving Mimar.
Or your husband or your right. grandchild. Okay, yeah, you can do that. But now try to do it with people who hate your guts.
Yep.
That's hard.
Because that's what Jesus' love looked like. When he hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Gosh, that just hit me.
Mm-hmm.
That really just hit me hard just there.
Yeah, because he loved them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He loved the Pharisees. He loved the scribes. He loved those who were nailing him to the cross.
Yeah, the people murdering him.
Yeah, right. And that's who we are. It's not mm-hmm. just those people around the cross.
Yeah.
That's who we are.
Mm.
We are enemies of God. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
I didn't think we were going to start this Friday off hitting so hard. Man, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
So can we really claim that we have this virtue of love?
No.
No, we don't.
No.
Not at all. Not without Christ.
I'm not even close to that. So the whole point is this. This is a virtue list that comes from the ground of salvation. This is also something important to remember is that it is Peter, the dumb fisherman,
yeah. right.
Is utilizing a rhetorical device known as soritis. Sounds like a sickness, but it's not. Soritis means building on the previous one.
Mm.
So each virtue builds on the previous one.
Hmm. It's really cool because you see that a lot in lots of different writing. You just don't recognize it as what it is. Mm-hmm. It's just constantly escalation, building up until you get to this climax.
You cannot skip the rungs.
Right.
You cannot say, well, you know, I'm going to jump onto love. No, sir. You got to start with faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll definitely work with faith and then self-control. No, mm-mm. You have to go from faith to excellence.
Right. Mm. And you don't, most people don't see them as a stair step. Like they'll see virtue number one and then virtue number six and be like, okay, I've got those two. But it's like, no, you can't have this one if you don't have these.
It's a progression.
Right.
Yeah.
Like if I'm playing a game, I can't go from level one to level 10.
And then be like, okay, I skipped level five. Let me go back and hit it real quick.
No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So, we have to keep in mind that they are all building on each other. Something else to remember, we covered this previously, giving all diligence. The Greek word is spoude, which means be earnest, make haste, obey from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't do that, if you don't have that passion, then you're not going to add, which is the word epikoregeo, which means to furnish, mm-hmm. to supply. We're kind of covering these concepts again, but we've covered them sort of intensely.
Yeah, this whole week.
In this whole week. But there's one more word over here, which is the word paresphero, which means bring in beside or introduce. So along with soritis, the word is paresphero, which means build each virtue on top of the other. So really, you got to get that concept.
You have to introduce one only when the other has been established.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Got you.
Right.
Got you.
Now, what is also very interesting in this level one tracking is that it begins with faith.
Hmm.
It begins with faith.
Yeah, because, again, you can't do any of this if you aren't saved. If you don't have faith in Christ, I can't love. I can't have excellence. I can't have the knowledge of God.
You can have the world's imitation of those things,
right?
But you can't have the genuine thing because it comes after a relationship with Christ.
That's right. So you got to have faith. And this is not the saving faith we're talking about. We're talking about the life of trust.
Mm.
And we need to understand what faith really means. So the Greek word is piste.
Mm-hmm.
And piste can have two meanings. It can mean trust in God or the gospel. But the second meaning is loyalty or faithfulness.
Mm.
Some people pick the first. Some people pick the second. I believe that both meanings are implied here.
Both faith in God and faithfulness of God for us?
Faithfulness to God.
To God. Gotcha.
As well.
Gotcha. Okay.
So both of those things are implied.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is not saving faith.
Right, right.
That speaks to the sophistication of Peter's writing.
Yeah.
If he's got dual meanings that are implied here and he's got a list of like one, like formal writing, rhetoric, I mean, just,
yeah.
Y'all are sleeping on Peter, I'm telling you.
That's right.
You need to give him some more credit than you're giving him.
Yeah.
So let's focus on the first one, which is faith in God. Christian life is a life of faith in God and his promises. is a faith we exercise every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Many passages in the Bible, but I'm going to give you a couple of them. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight. Not by sight.
Always an excellent one.
Yeah. Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me.
Mm-hmm.
And the life which I now live by
faith.
The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So Jesus demonstrated this life of faith, and he taught on the life of faith constantly.
Well, we talked about that even in Israel. When we were in Israel, we filmed that. We filmed a couple of videos on the Beatitudes, and
yes,
I remember that was one of the ones that that really stuck out to me when he was talking about don't worry what you're going to eat or drink, mm-hmm. you know. And it reminds you to have that faith in God, to have that trust.
Right.
What's that song? That'll come to me. It'll come to me later. But there's a really great worship song out there about that, where if he dresses the lilies and the sparrows, how much more does your father love you? I'll think of the name of it.
Yeah, but it's really coming from
Beatitudes. From the Beatitudes.
Matthew chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. Then verse 28, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, on and on. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of
little faith?
Yeah. So it's all about faith.
That's right. That's right.
And Jesus constantly taught them through teaching, but also through experiences.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember one of the things that we talked about was R.G. Letourneau.
Yeah.
And how he... The faith, the stories that you shared from his life, and I know we've talked about him on the show before, but do you want to just tell the same story that you told from the pulpit? Because I think this was one of the ones that really made it come alive for me, was hearing about the faith that he showed in this particular story.
Now, for those who may not know, R.G. Letourneau was a genius in a way, but he was genius in the field of earth moving.
So just a pause here, because I remember when you said that from the pulpit, you were like, he was the dean of earth moving. And I was like, oh man, this dude was like a shaker of faith. Like, he was out there winning souls and just moving the earth. And then you were like, no, he actually like made tractors and stuff.
Heavy equipment. Like, physically like, moving or mass.
Yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense, dude.
But he started in 1921. In just 2 years, he was $100,000 in debt. Now, we're talking about 1921, not today. But even today, if you're $100,000 in debt, good luck.
Yeah, that's you're in a bad way.
In 2 years. I mean, that's not over a large span of time.
That's right. But over the next 18 years, his business grew to $10 million with four factories and 3,000 employees.
Incredible.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And his heavy equipment has been used around the world to clear land, build highways, dams, reservoirs, everything big you can imagine. I mean, he's been used. In fact, there's a gentleman in our church, after I shared about R.G. Letourneau, he's like, preacher, back in the 70s, I went and bought one of those machines from R.G. because he's already dead by that time, but one of those things.
He's got one?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I don't know if he's still using it, but he remembers going to buy the Letourneau machines.
That's incredible.
I was like, really? He said, oh, yeah, I remember that. And I remember that man very well.
Wow.
Or remember stories about him very well.
Wow. That's really awesome.
But in World War II, 70% of bulldozers and engineering vehicles were actually Letourneau.
Were his.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Some of the machinery that carried the men to the shores of Normandy.
Were Letourneau machines?
Yeah, they were Letourneau machines.
That's insane.
I mean, he would design things, give it off to his engineers, and they would be crafting them before you know it. I mean, that's how instrumental he was in World War II.
I'm thinking about like all those like offshore drilling machines, things that we see all
mobile
the time.
Mobile offshore drilling platforms. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's him.
And we never think about that.
Yeah, 300 some patents.
Golly.
That's a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just, and he founded Letourneau University, supported many colleges. In fact, the college that Nicole and I went to was heavily supported by Letourneau.
Tacoma Falls was?
Yeah.
Wow.
In fact, the girls' dorm was Letourneau Hall.
Huh.
Wow. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's where Nicole lived in Letourneau Hall?
She never lived there. But,
oh, I got you.
She lived in one of the other ones, but that was one of
the
bigger
ones. Yeah. Cool.
But the point is this. It happened in 1931. This is 2 years after the Great Depression had hit the United States, that he had two construction projects in hand. One was $1 million contract. Another one was a $500,000 contract, and the first one was sort of to build a highway to Boulder Dam on the Colorado River in Nevada. The second, the $500,000 one, was to build the Orange County Dam in Southern California.
Mm.
Okay?
So two dams.
Two dams. And there were some problems in completing the Boulder Dam, and Letourneau was in a loss of $100,000.
Wow.
Now, he's been a loss many times.
Yeah. And that's also in the 30s, right? So that is not the same as today.
Depression had just happened.
Mm.
I mean, this is where people are very skittish. They don't want to take chances. They don't want to take any risks. And this just happened.
That's a bad time to be losing 100 grand.
Yes, yes. And so that would be close to like $1 million today.
Oof.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a hit.
Oh, yeah, that's a big hit.
Yeah. That's a big hit. That's a gut punch.
So the bonding company in San Francisco was willing to do one of two things, either take it out of Letourneau's hands or oversee the whole project as he did it. So to make matters worse, the state inspector came and said, look, it's too late. To start this now. The rain is here. It's just a few months away. You cannot complete it. you have to wait till next year. But waiting till next year meant it's over.
That's the bane of, like, if you work, because we're seeing that with our construction of our new building now. Yeah. When the rain's coming, they say, hey, you have to halt. That's the bane of everybody's existence.
Yeah,
that's
everything comes to a screeching halt, and there's nothing you can do.
Because you can hear that, like, listening to it on the radio. You're like, hey, just wait till next year.
Right.
Bad.
There will be no recovery.
Horrible news.
No recovery. And so Letourneau begged this man. He said, look, please, 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 let me... there's some work that has to be done. Let me do a sample for you. And the man said, look, there is some work to be done at the base of the dam. If you can complete that work in 1 month, then I can believe that you can do this job.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so Letourneau and his men began to work. They worked days, they worked nights, they worked Sundays. They did everything they could, and he got it done. The job was done. Nothing like it was ever done. And the man came back and said, all right, if you work at this space, at this pace, I know you can get it done before the rain starts.
So it seems like if we get the green light, we're all good.
Now, prior to this, Letourneau had never worked his men on a Sunday. And it really troubled his conscience. Like, man, I got this, but this wasn't right. And so what I'm about to share, just know, if you're in law enforcement, if you have to work in medical field, if you have to work around the clock in whatever department you have, like military, whatever, we understand. We're not talking about you cannot work on Sundays,
right?
Now better quit. No, we understand. But in this situation, it was more of a, I'm just going to push through this and get it done because I can't lose this deal.
Yeah. Right.
It was about the deal. And so he really was struggling. And he went and told the man, the bonding company guy, he said, look, I want to stop working on Sunday.
Wow.
That's a bold move.
And we'll get the job done, but I cannot work my guys on Sunday because it's against my conviction. And the man was like, no way.
Yeah.
That's a huge risk. We're not going to do this. You do that, we take over. And Letourneau said, you know, God spoke to him, obey God rather than man. Obey God. You know, faith involves obedience.
That's right. Yeah, you can't just trust. You have to all trust and obey.
Right.
For there is no other way.
No other way to be happy in Jesus. So he did not show up Sunday. And the next day, the head man from San Francisco called him and he said, what in the world are you doing?
Ooh.
Do you really, are you going to do this to us when we gave you a chance and you made it happen, but then you pull out like this? He said, if you do that, we'll take over. No problem. We'll take it over. And Letourneau told them, he said, look, I cannot change my decision. I know you can take it over. The only thing you can take over is my wife and children. So I know how heavy this is going to be. But 3 days later, the man called and said, look, it's all right. Go ahead and do what you need to do.
Wow.
We're not going to take it over. And praise of course,
God.
Needless to say, the work was done and he was able to save the business.
Because he honored God.
It came back to his faith.
Yeah. Wow. What is very interesting is in the same year, 1932, things were not much better. Again, he was in debt.
Ooh. My heart.
my stomach keeps twisting. Yeah. This is not good for my
exactly.
My gut.
The payroll was 5 weeks behind. Letourneau did not know what would happen next, and he was in church, and it was Mission Sunday.
Mm.
And God began to work on his heart to pledge for missions.
It's like, how am I going to pledge for missions? I'm so far in debt for the third time.
You know, and so he's like, God, I can't do this. I cannot do this. There are men sitting here who I owe money to, and if I pledge, they're going to either think I am a phony or I'm a liar. I can't do this. And God told him to divide the pledge and make it in the names of his children, and he made a pledge of $5,000.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lot. A
lot by today's standards.
Yeah.
Now, here's the interesting thing. About the same time, he had sold a machine to a contractor. Keep in mind, this is 100 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he was having trouble with the steel tires in the desert sand.
Mm.
And the contractor wanted to go elsewhere, but Letourneau persuaded him to let him use these pneumatic tires. Mm-hmm. Not to us, it's like pneumatic. I mean, like the tires?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then...
That was huge.
That was huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It worked like a charm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the contractor bought two of the scrapers and even told him to build another one. And R.G. Letourneau asked if he could get a small down payment. And the man's response was, down payment.
I'm going to give you the whole thing.
I'll give you the whole thing. And he wrote him a check for $25,000.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Beautiful.
And so from there on, R.G. Letourneau said, God became my business partner.
Yeah.
And he would often say something like this. He would say, not how much of my money I give to God, but how much of his money I keep for myself.
Yeah. So if you're wondering why we're talking about stealing yesterday, it's because of this. Because look what faithfulness in God
will
do.
That's right. So faith in God, faithfulness to God. Mm-hmm. And also when you are you have faith in God and you're faithful to God, you will be faithful to other people.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So there's so much there.
Oh, yeah.
But I hope you get that concept that without faith, you cannot begin this journey of spiritual growth.
That's right.
That's right. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, if it was helpful for you in developing your faith, your trust in God, write it and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate link, and become part of what God is doing through the Clearview Today Show family. Also want to encourage you to visit MightyMuscadine.com. They're the sponsors of today's episode. Check out their line of products. Use the promo code TODAY. That's T-O-D-A-Y when you check out. It's going to get you a great discount, and a portion of those proceeds are going to come right back here to the Clearview Today Show. John, anything you want to leave our listeners with for the weekend?
Just chill and play some games, man. No, I'm just joking.
Level up in your video games.
No, find you a place to worship and join us again here on Monday, because we talked about faithfulness in God. What does faithfulness to God mean? How do we be faithful to God?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that next week.
That's right. You guys have a great weekend. Love you. We'll see you Monday on Clearview Today.